All right, here we go. John, Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 6, reading through verse 12. Bible says, this is Jesus talking, this is Jesus praying to his Father in heaven. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and now they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are powerful and mighty and awesome. Lord, there are those of us, Lord, I lift up Larry Freeman to you this morning, who is struggling in his most recent bout with chemotherapy. Lord, there are many of us that are struggling, Lord, in the challenges that surround us, Lord. And I pray your protection, Lord. I pray your perseverance, Lord. I pray your safety upon each one of us, Lord, as we would put a focus upon you, Lord, that we would receive from heaven, Lord, supernatural divine power, Lord, that would enable us to walk through our challenges, Lord, to find fullness and joy in the lives that you have called us to. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. I would pray for warmth, but I know that some of you are already too warm. These are complex issues that we are talking about. We come to, indeed, the Lord's Prayer. The Lord is praying to his Father in heaven. We will take a look at that through basically all of chapter 17 this morning. But it is incredibly complex as Jesus takes that relationship that he has with his Father and prays an outgrowth of that into our lives. I am seeking for a way to try and simplify this for you. And I came up with Popeye. Popeye the Sailor Man. If you are familiar with Popeye, how many of you ever, well, see, this tells you how old you are. How many people have no clue who Popeye is? Really? No clue. See, everybody here is old. The teenagers, they really, you know, many teenagers, they don't know who Popeye is. Popeye is just a normal, mild-mannered sailor just trying to get by in life. And his nemesis is? See, now I saw two names, Pluto and Brutus. I looked up Brutus and I saw Pluto. But anyway, it's this big lumbering guy who always is after Popeye's girlfriend Olive, in most cases. And Popeye is just trying to get by, and Pluto always seems to get him and just starts beating him to a pulp at some point. Amen, right? Am I right? And then Popeye pulls out the spinach, right? And he gets miraculous power from eating. And this is the greatest marketing campaign by the spinach manufacturers. I kid you not. Back in the 30s, they thought this whole thing up, and it was incredibly effective. Little boys saying, I want spinach. I want spinach. But what this shows is Popeye, when he eats his spinach, gets this miraculous power, and he is able to overcome the challenge that Brutus is bringing to him. Get it? Jesus is talking about similar heavenly resources being released in our lives as we go through challenges that we might overcome them. That's what we're going to talk about today. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let me see what I got going on here. Jesus has talked to me. We're in this series connected to the King. And the Mary Jo, if he wants to be a little bit mobile, you can't move over there on that glass room over there and you can hear me and he can be a little bit freer to move rather than on the second row. You know what I'm talking about. He says, we've been in a series going through John, starting at halfway through chapter 13, 14, and 15. And last week we jumped up to John chapter 20 for Easter. We're sliding back to John 17 and completing this series called Connected to the King. And Jesus has been talking about the heavenly opportunities that are in the life of believers. He has said over and over again, ask anything in my name and my Father in heaven will do it. Ask anything. And we struggle with this. You know, it's like, well, you know, Aaron said, I didn't get my Mercedes. Was it a Mercedes you were looking for? I didn't get my Mercedes I was looking for, and I don't know if you asked the Lord for that. But we're going to put that into some context today about how that connection with God can be manifest in our lives. We also took a look at, in John chapter 15, he said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And there is this connection with Jesus that we have, that the disciples had, and through the Holy Spirit that we have as believers, and there is this unity in the body of Christ, a common feature, the production of fruit as we are connected with Jesus. We will seal all this up today with the Lord's Prayer. And what we talk about as this power of heaven comes in, we talk about a vertical relationship with God. And we talk about a horizontal relationship that we have with one another. I'll give you just a little bit more description of that. We live our lives. You come into the world and you have a relationship with your parents at that wedding we were at, man. Saw squawking little kids grabbing onto their moms and all this kind of stuff. I mean, all those little kids know is mama. Right? And their parents and maybe their siblings. It's all horizontal. Well, Jesus comes and he is fully man, but he is also fully God. And so he has this vertical relationship with his Father in heaven that he models that is completely revolutionary to those that are around him. In fact, the religious structure of the day is, what are you doing? What are you claiming? You know, you're lying. You don't have this going on. We don't understand this. And so as Jesus models this, and in John chapter 17, Jesus prays this. He is praying an opening from heaven would pour down into the disciples that they would then have impact on the horizontal relationships that they are involved in all around them. And what I want to let you know this morning is that this prayer is effective for us this morning, that it might not get Aaron a Mercedes-Benz, but as you move through the challenges in your horizontal relationships, that the floodgates of heaven can pour out into your life and you can have impact for God around you. Now, aren't you glad you came to church today? Kids are happy they came for a carnival. We can have a carnival right now. Amen. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit coming in and changing us. Today we're going to take a look at the Lord's Prayer. Are we good?
Yes.
Are you cold?
Yes.
Yes? We have. All right, now who's cold? All right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to kick it up 1 degree. We'll kick it at 72. I mean, man, I'll tell you what. I'm freezing. Yesterday it's 68. You know, wow, it's freezing cold. And I think Pastor Dave, you know, living at 50 degrees, that's just killing. All right, Rook, you did turn the fans off, so if you get too hot, excessively hot, if you hit 74 and you can't handle it, just kind of go talk to Rook. He'll turn the fans back on for you. All right, are we good?
Good.
All right, all right. After Jesus said this. Now, this is Jesus. We take a look at chapter 13 and 14. He is in the room where they had the Last Supper. And he does this teaching, and he knows that he is going to the cross. He knows that he is going to be arrested. The vine and the branches does not say specifically where it was, but they believe that as they are moving from Jerusalem to the Garden of Gethsemane, that he makes this teaching and that also he prays this prayer. And he might have just been walking along and says he just lifts his eyes up and just begins to pray. Man, would you love to just been there when Jesus prayed this prayer? After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him." Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And we start off today, and I want to let you know that Jesus is asking for more. He is asking for more glory. Glory is used 9 times, or some glorify. 9 times in this one chapter. John is focused on the glory of God. Jesus is focused on glory. He says he is asking for glory, the Greek word doxazo, and it means to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged. Jesus is saying, Father, cause my worth, cause my value, cause my dignity to be increased, that I might increase your value, that I might increase your dignity, that I might increase your worth. What he is saying is, I want you to open the floodgates of heaven upon me, that I might have greater impact upon those around me. Amen? And he says, the impact that I want to have is for you. I'll tell you what, if you would make that offer to God, he never says no. You say, God, glorify me, empower me, equip me so that I can glorify you to the lives around me. He says, nah, not a good deal. Never. Not one time. My question is, do you want to glorify God? Do you want to increase his worth? We have this food program going on. You might say, I can't be involved. I got to work. But you could be praying. At about 2:15, 2:30, those kids are going to be rolling out. There's going to be drama going on. You can say, oh, it's 2:30. I got to pray. Then you can float a 5-second prayer. You can float a 5-minute prayer. But you can be involved in what the Lord is doing here. You might be off. You might be able to get off. And you might be able to say, I'm going to be down there. Lord, glorify me that I might glorify you. Empower me. Equip me that I might have impact for you. The question is who do you want to glorify in your life? Whose value, whose worth do you want to increase in your life? Because if it's God's, then you fit in this prayer that Jesus is praying. Amen?
Amen?
He says, I have done everything that you have asked me to do, Father. Amazingly, there was a list. And Jesus accomplished the whole thing, and he is on his way to accomplishing the biggest thing. He is going to the cross. And he's saying, Lord, I could use some extra. Amazingly, the Lord has a list for you. It is a famous list. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Bible says that we are God's workmanship, that he is doing a work in you, that he has his hands on you, that he is molding you for a purpose. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And you don't even get to choose. He says, these good works have been prepared in advance for you to do. When I go home today, I want to go get some new screen doors. I don't know how much you talk to my wife, but if you talk to her much, you will realize, or you will know, that she hates the screen doors. Do you know that? You're smiling. You know that? Yeah. She hates the screen doors in the parsonage. We have lived there for 15 years. She has hated them for 15 years. And I, today, I'm going to attempt to install new screen doors before she gets home. Yeah. Now, I'm fine with those screen doors. I am just good to go. And for 15 years, I have been good to go. But actually, the latch busted off like about a week or two ago. So, she's got a job prepared for me that's going to bless her. God has got jobs prepared for you. They're going to glorify and bless him. Question is, how much time are you spending on those jobs? And how much time are you spending on his jobs? All right, I see Richard fanning himself. How many of you are now hot? The two of us, actually. All right. I'll tell you what, stand up in front of these lights. It's blazing up here. Maybe I just put the AC on for me. All righty, let's go to point number two. Jesus invested in his disciples. He says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Jesus invested his life, his energy, his teaching, his resources in those whom the Father had given him. We call those the elect. That's a technical word. If you sit here this morning, it is because, and God is doing something in you, and you have any clue what I'm talking about, it is because God has chosen to do a work in you. You are the elect. If you come in here week after week going, I have no clue what he is talking about. If you open the word and it just is like a clanging cymbal, it's just like, this means, I don't understand how come people go excited about all this stuff. Bible tells us that the spiritual things are spiritually discerned and that the man without the Spirit of God cannot accept them. And that if that is happening to you, you need to say, God, choose me. Because there are some that are chosen and that there are some that are not. It is something that God starts and we respond to. The disciples were responding. Jesus, God makes a choice. Jesus gives them a message and they respond in belief. They respond in obedience and they respond with eternal life. That we would spend eternity figuring out our Father in heaven. Because that's how long it's going to take to get him. And you know what? Some people think it's going to be so boring in heaven. All we're going to do is sit and bow and pray and sing. We will spend our time trying to figure out the most dynamic thing in the universe. And we'll never get it figured out. We'll never discover the wholeness of him. Amen? He says, I have taken from this vertical relationship that I have with my Father in heaven, and I have poured it out into those people around me. And it has had impact. It has made a difference. They are getting it. That vertical relationship that Jesus has with his Father is beginning to grow in his disciples. Now, it is going to sprout up after the resurrection when the Holy Spirit is poured out and truly opens that floodgate from heaven. Amen? Amen. That is what has happened in our lives. You get this. There are so many people that have that vertical relationship with God in this church. And we see it manifest. The carnival that's going out, the youth that are going to be working at it. Yuseli's setting it up. Richard working on the board. The worship team up here. So many of you working those works that God has. Because why? Because God selected you from heaven to be part of his family. Amen?
Amen.
It has been, Aaron talked about having a great week. I had a great week. And God did just some cool stuff. We got some new stuff around here. And start looking for this stuff and just kind of put it on a wish list. And we got some new shelves for Natty and set up the new storeroom. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one thing we did was we got a new TV screen for the preschool room because Karina has some new curriculum. It's going to be all very cool. And so we got all this stuff set up. So I went to go buy this 50-inch plasma TV for $125 from this guy. And that's a God price right there. Amen? All right, so I get there, and I'm talking to the guy, you know, and I tell him that I'm a pastor, and this is for the church, and he says, well, I'm an agnostic. I'm like, well, thank you for that, you know? And he said, yeah, my grandpa was a pastor, and my mom, she's mad, but, you know, I just don't think I need it. And he begins to just kind of throw out these kind of off-the-shelf little arguments against God. Well, the problem when you start throwing them little off-the-shelf arguments against God to a pastor, he's got answers for all those little off-the-shelf arguments.
Amen.
And so he tells me, you know, I just think I'm good enough to get there. You know, and I'm going, I'm getting a $125 TV here, man. I don't want to blow this up. But I said, you know, I said, you know, I got, you know, you got a problem. I go, what's that? I go, you're not good enough. And he looks at me, and I go, nobody's good enough. I go, let me tell you about the Lord. And he had told me that he was retired Army, and he was a younger guy. And I said, you know, I don't know about Army. I got Marines around me. I go, but you know about the Marines, right? You go into boot camp, and everything is about the obstacle course. I mean, you go through boot camp, and you learn how to do this obstacle course, and your final is you got to make the obstacle course. And if you don't make it, you wash out, and you're not a Marine. I said, here's the thing. God says nobody makes it. Nobody's good enough to make it through the obstacle course. But Jesus stands at the finish, and right as you are about ready to wash out, he puts out his hand and says, I'll pull you through. And he goes, oh. Well, you know, and he starts going through more of this stuff, and he starts throwing, he's grabbing all of his arguments, you know, and I'm talking to him. And you know, and we're loading the TV and all this stuff, and his girlfriend comes home, and we're talking. He's the agnostic, right? So I'm thinking, hey, maybe I can get somewhere with the girlfriend, you know? And so maybe she's going to church or, you know, whatever. And I'll tell you what, she has got zero interest in the Lord. I mean, I start trying to talk to them both, you know, and I can just see, man, she's just not interested. And the agnostic is glued. And I'm going, you know what? God is doing something in this guy. And that is what it means to be the elect. Because when you're perked an interest, when you got an interest, I want to know about this. He might be saying no. I used to know a salesman. You know when I got him sold? When they tell me no. Yep, that's when I... That's the elect. When you're the elect, you're looking to know more about God. And Jesus is making a prayer for you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. All right, Jesus is praying for his disciples. John 17, 9 through 12, Bible says, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except that one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. And I want to let you know that this prayer is not for everyone. And there are those who would say, well, that is hardly fair. Well, you know what? God is not particularly fair. God is very just. And there are those, and that's kind of the argument that the agnostic guy was getting into me. There are so many terrible things that are going on in the world. I said, you know, Jesus came and they killed him. He knows about all the stuff that is going on. He experienced it firsthand. Now, God is not about fair. It's like, well, there's so much suffering in the world. Yes, God saves us out of that. He does not necessarily stop it. Say a good, fair, just, and loving God would just stop it. No, a good, fair, and loving God went to the cross so that you didn't have to. Amen?
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 Amen.
Jesus is praying for his disciples. He is praying for power. The world has no opening to the vertical power, the heavenly power to come down from God. They are sealed off from that. And God is looking for access points. You can be an access point for the power of heaven to flow down into you and be spread out in the people that you know. He's praying for his disciples. We see reference to this in Luke chapter 22. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you, and that's plural. So I put y'all in there, right? Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift y'all as wheat. Now, you ever sifted wheat? I mean, not a pleasant experience if you're a human. I can imagine, amen? He says, I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith might not fail. And we see reference to this prayer right here in John chapter 17. And that prayer extends to us, that as you come under the challenge of the attack of the enemy, as you come under the attack of Brutus or Pluto or whatever you want to call that guy, as you come under the attack of the people that are around you, that there is a heavenly resource that is available to you if you would but live to what? Glorify our Father in heaven. If you're saying, hey, get me out of this, Lord, I messed up. Oh, well. If you say, Lord, I am going through this, Lord, we need a plasma TV so that Karina can teach little kids in our community about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? God's got cattle on 1,000 hilltops. You know how many plasma TVs he's got? He's got them all over the place. And he just bumped one our way. Why? Because Karina, one of God's elect, is working, doing the job, the task that God has aligned for her. And when we do that, there is protection, there is provision, and there is power.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? Simon, Simon, Satan wants to sift you. He's coming after all y'all. The fusion of power of heaven, protection. Supernatural assistance is available to those who are connected to the King.
Amen.
He uses protect here twice. And he uses the word safe. And the meaning of this has preserve. Protect and preserve as they are surrounded by all the toxicity of the world. How much you got going on around you that is just foul, that is dangerous? The Lord is there. There is a supernatural power from heaven that comes down, that Jesus would pray for us. He is protecting and preserving his disciples. And he says, I'm leaving, but I want you to protect them while I'm gone. And that protection is for us here today as well. Jesus is on the way to the cross and he has joy. We're reading from verse 13. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. How can he speak of joy as he is on his way to the cross. He knows what is awaiting him. He knows he's going to be arrested. He knows he's going to be beaten and flogged and hung up there and mocked and spit upon. How can there be joy? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. Amen. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they may be truly sanctified. And there is joy in bringing glory to God. Amen. There is joy when the Lord comes and gives you an attaboy or an attagirl, a pat on the back saying, well done. You did so well. See, Jesus is accomplishing the work that God has given him, that the Father has given him to do. As he heads to the cross, he can see the finish line. And he's going, almost done, headed back to heaven soon. You know, when we end up leaving here, we are going to be present with the Lord. And it is going to be a great day. I doubt Tosimi has stopped smiling yet. Just the joy of the glory of God. Overwhelming. He says, Father, I'm going to glorify you on the cross. And as he moves that way, there is great joy that just comes from the power that is available to him. He prays for sanctification of the elect. He prays for a separation, a dedication. He says, Lord, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but I'm asking for protection. I'm asking for perseverance and preservation for them. But Lord, I'm asking that you sanctify them and set them apart to consecrate them for your service. That the things that they would do would be dedicated toward giving you glory. Does God want you to quit your job? Maybe. He wanted me to quit mine. But you can still glorify God in the job that you have. Amen? Amen? And if you live to glorify God where you are at, that is all you can hit. And you then open this vertical flow of the power of heaven, and you are sanctified, you are dedicated unto God, and you will find focus and you will find joy as you accomplish these things. You will find a greater joy than getting a paycheck. I got one amen on that. Thank you, Johnny. Let me tell you. When I told you we got some shelves for Miss Natty, and we totally reorganized the storeroom out there, which was basically just a pile of old stuff. We got some shelving units put in there, and Joe and JJ and I started at 8 o'clock on Friday morning. And Joe wanted to go surfing. So he's motivated. Let's go, Dad. Let's go. And he's moving. Let's put the shelves together. JJ does not have that focus. JJ just kind of meandering around. Joe's been working for a long time. And JJ's new to the plan. And so we're putting the shelves together, which I went over to go buy the shelves, which were a great price from the guy. And he says, oh, this is for a church? Here, let me give you all that money back. You need anything else? He goes, here, you can have this tarp, you can have this vacuum cleaner, you can have all this. He starts giving us all this stuff. Wow. Just like, I had a great week, I'm telling you. It was just so good. But anyway, we're working, and then JJ's squawking and squawking, and Joe's working hard, and finally, at one point, I said, JJ, look, enough squawking. Just go out there and sit down for a minute. Just chill. Just think about this. And so we're doing the stuff. And then we move the TVs around. We got the TV, and it's me and JJ. We're working on that. And we do all that. And finally, you know, I mean, TV looks good, eh, Miss Karina? And Natty, the shelf, is Natty in here? Shelves look great, right? You end up that day. You guys can go in there and look at that stuff and just be blessed. But you get to the end of the day, and it's just like, whew, good day. You know, hard work, but just get that joy that comes from serving the Lord. Now,
JJ wasn't particularly celebrating that joy. But I said on the way home, because Lisa was gone up to L.A. for the wedding, I said, hey, what do you say we get a pizza? Okay. What kind do you want? Sausage and pineapple. We never get sausage and pineapple. I said, okay, man. Now he's feeling the joy. And I'm telling you, there are rewards in heaven that come, but you can find a joy today as that vertical component of heaven just pours down resources and protection and preservation upon you, and it flows out in the relationships around you. There's incredible joy. But when you end up in heaven and you look Jesus face to face, you see the marks in his hands, there's a joy. Amen? All right. Last thing. All right. John 17, 20 through 23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me. How many of you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today? Amen. Well, Jesus right here is praying for you. Jesus right here is praying for us. He says, I pray for those who will believe in me, sitting right there at City Heights Assembly. Actually, that's not in there. I had that in there. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me. Now, think of the unity. Think of the combo in here. Think of the prayer. Jesus says that they would be in us. As a minor participation? No. In the same way, I am in you, Father, and you are in me, let them be in us. Now, how's that for a vertical component to life? Amen? Amen. He says, so that may they also be in us, so that the world may believe you have sent me. Right? There is this testimony that goes out to the world from us as we are united with Christ and with the Father. It is so incredibly dynamic. Talk about it being accomplished through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And all next month, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit being active in our lives. But this is what is accomplished. This is what is available. And this is why Jesus is praying. I pray for all those who will believe that they might be in us, as I am in you and you are in me. Let them be in us so that the world may know that you have sent me. Now, you want to glorify God with your life and your choices. Look what is available to you. To be hooked up, lined up with the Lord. That they may be one as we are in one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus is looking for a witness, folks. He's sending disciples into the world to save the world, and he's sending us into the world to save the world. He says in Matthew, he says, 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before kids. Let your light shine before women. Why? That they might see your good deeds and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. It is amazing how all this stuff just works together. Amen? Amen? So if you would live your life to glorify your Father in heaven, what is denied you? Jesus says, nothing. You're going to glorify my Father, I'll give you whatever you want. The connection between Jesus and his Father was so great that he mirrored his Father. He told Philip, man, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. My question is, what do you mirror in your life today? What do people see in you? Do they see the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do they just see you? I pray that they might be in us. I pray that that vertical relationship with heaven would be dominant in their lives. When that happens, every horizontal relationship that you have will be impacted. Let that vertical relationship in heaven impact every horizontal relationship you have down here. God is looking for a solution.
God has a problem. World does not know. World cannot know. It says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. The world does not know. God has a problem, and God is looking for a solution. You, my friends, are answers to that problem. That he would pour out his life and his spirit in you so that you might have an impact on every person around you. Sam and Ann are going to come up, and we're going to sing a song. My question is how much do you want that? How open to you to the glory of God? God's looking for a witness. God is looking for people to have impact. How much impact did you have this week? How much answered prayer did you have this week? Can you stand up here and just say, oh man, like Aaron said, I had a great week. God ride with me all week long. Or is that a lousy week because I didn't get what I wanted? It's all about me. Sam, just play a little something up there. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, you are doing such an incredible work. Lord, and all the people that have been mentioned today, I celebrate your work in them. Lord, I celebrate your work in my wife, in my son, in JJ. Each person here, Lord, some just racing ahead, empowered by your spirit, having incredible impact. Lord, I pray for Larry, Lord. Lord, I pray for the outreach that starts tomorrow, Lord. Just your provision, Lord. Your direction, Lord. Your protection, your perseverance, Lord. You sit here this morning and you are excited about living to glorify God, and you have made choices and you have seen his provision in your life. I pray that prayer that Christ prayed for his disciples, Lord, that they might be protected and preserved, Lord, that you this morning might feel the presence of God, just like Popeye when he popped that spinach, that the power of heaven would just come down into your life and you say, Lord, in this incredibly challenging situation, I want to glorify you today. And perhaps you are here and you are under the attack of the evil one, and there is just a coldness at the core, the root of your being. And you are thinking, I don't understand, but I want to understand. Lord, I don't know that you have chosen me. And Jesus from heaven right now is reaching a hand down. The big hole in it. And he is saying, oh, I chose you, but you just haven't been listening. And that's why I've got you here this morning. I've got power for you. I've got protection for you. But you got to surrender. With no one looking around this morning, and God is just from heaven looking right down on you saying, you're like that Marine who's just trying to make it through the obstacle course and just getting ready to fail, and he's putting his hand out saying, no, you don't have to wash out. I've got you. I'll take you through. Nobody looking around this morning, but the Lord himself is just speaking to your heart. I just have you just reach out a hand to him and say, Lord, here I am. I'm failing. I'm ready to just quit. I'm ready to fall off this obstacle. Lord, I don't want to fail. I'll trust you to save me. No one looking around. Just raise your hand right here in front. Anybody else? Right back there. Anybody else? Say, right here. You can put your hand down, bro. Don't want to be lost. One last moment. Anybody else? Say, that's me. I don't want to be lost. Back here, I see that hand.
Right there. Say there. And here. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord. The rest of the worship team is coming up now. But Lord, as we pray, Lord, I pray, 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 we pray.